This is the Out of Time Film Podcast, where your hosts, Tom and John, discuss everything from blockbuster films to TV and games like there's no tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the Out of Time Film Podcast. My name is Tom, and as always, I'm joined with my co-host, John.
Hi.
This week, we are talking about Godzilla, Kong, The New Empire.
Yeah, I am familiar with the Monsters film from time to time. I know Kong Skull Island, which is a banger. Love that film. That is a very well-thought film about people who are still trapped in war, but also Kong just attacks everybody. But also, I love Godzilla Minus One. That was such a good film. But I am not really huge into the Monsters universe. You know, the Monarch thing with Godzilla and with their allies, Mothra or something. Yeah, those are the stuff they're not really into. But today, we are going to be talking Godzilla X Kong. I don't know how to say it. It's just like Godzilla.
I think it's
Kong.
Just like Godzilla Kong, like a wrestling match. It's like Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, which, sure, man.
It's a WWE situation. It's just yes. Coming together. It's just going to be in the ring. It's just going, watch out. It's Kong. It comes out of nowhere.
Have you seen that clip of The Undertaker returning?
Yes, I've seen it.
I've never watched WWE, but oh my god, I was like watching it and I was like, is this cool? It looked like the coolest thing ever.
The thing is with WWE and Godzilla X Kong, they're both fake in terms of like how they tried to levitate with the
Godzilla Kong is fake.
I'm sorry, bro. I had
Are you telling me there isn't a hollow earth? Are you telling me that in the hollow earth, there isn't a hollow earth?
I'm going to sound like DJ Khaled, like, another hollow earth, another hollow earth.
The next film is going to be The Hollower Hollow Earth. I'm interested about this because I've seen all the MonsterVerse films. Godzilla vs. Kong was one of the first films I saw at the cinema after the second lockdown. I remember just like watching it and just being like, this is awful. But there's something about these films. They're not great. I can't lie, but they're fun. They are a brilliant time. Like, you really just can't help but enjoy seeing these films. Like, there is a particular moment in this film that happened. I mean, it's not huge spoilers, but there's a baby Kong. There's a little baby ape. And there's a moment when Kong picks up the baby ape and uses him to hit other apes. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
That was the best bit in the film. He was just like, you know what? I'm just going to whack it over the apes as well. It's just crazy. It's just crazy, this film. And I thought there were some really good sequences in the film that were pretty cool. But overall, it's just a film that I wouldn't expect in a bad way. I'm just like, oh, okay, because I thought there was going to be more to it. Because I haven't seen a lot of the MonsterVerse films. I was like, okay, I'm pretty hopeful. I want to see something that has some heart in it. No, I was wrong with that. I was just pulled in and then was like, no, there was supposed to be something. That was what I was hoping from Godzilla Minus One, because that looked into the emotional side of the humans fighting against Godzilla. In this case, it's not. It's just Godzilla and Kong just hanging out and just like fighting it and just like, hell yeah, we're going to see some action. And then the villain as well. That was another thing that came into my mind. There's a villain of the story, which is pretty forgettable.
Yeah, I mean, like, Godzilla Minus One, I wish we did it on the podcast. We never covered it. And, you know, maybe one day we will. But it's really, really brilliant. And much like the original Godzilla stories, it tells a story about post-war Japan and PTSD. And Godzilla is this manifestation of those fears and of the state of the world and what nuclear devastation looks like. You know, how do we personify that? Godzilla is the villain. Godzilla is the thing that's scary. And that's also kind of how it is in the 2014 Godzilla. But then, like, as you keep on going, it becomes less about that and more about Godzilla is like the protagonist in some sense. And does this film have anything to say, really? Really? Like, you can't really compare it to Godzilla Minus One. Not really, because that film has a lot to say. This film has nothing to say. What does Godzilla do in this film? He just spends the whole time charging up and then does a fight.
It's just a phone charger.
Hey,
I'm just going to charge up for a second, guys, and then I'll sleep in the Colosseum. That's what he does. That is not a huge spoiler of the film. He just sleeps in the Colosseum and he's like, oh, my alarm. I need to go, guys. I just
gotta go to work. Yeah.
Gotta get to work, you know, gotta get my radiation. Just try to go under the North Pole.
Yeah, it felt like the heads of the studio, they sat down and they were like, okay, we gotta sell these new toys. So we're gonna make Godzilla pink and we're gonna give Kong a mecha arm. And they're like, yeah, we have to make this like really cool. And how do we give it plot significance? Who cares? We're just gonna do it. Like, this film felt like a Kong film, and I think it was quite a cool Kong film. And then Godzilla was just kind of squeezed in there to slow things down, and then the end be like, hey guys, like, it felt like Superman in Justice League, where he just kind of comes and is just like, yeah, I'm doing my thing.
Guys,
and
it's like, it's me. It's just like,
and it's like, yeah, sure, why not?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Like, but at the same time, I don't want to compare this film to Justice League, because I think this film is loads of fun. And honestly, it's stupid, it's dumb, but who cares? I certainly don't. I had a blast with it. I certainly enjoyed it more than Godzilla vs. Kong and more than Godzilla King of the Monsters. Is it as good as Kong Skull Island or 2014 Godzilla? Not really, but like, it's fun. And it's just like, smash, just smash the whole time. Just like, ape, ape, lizard, lizard, wheel fighting, there's some ice, bang, crash. Like, you know, to paraphrase film. Mark Kermode, it's like, that's basically it.
Yeah, that's the whole film. Should we get into it?
Let's get into spoilers. So full spoilers ahead for anyone who hasn't seen it. Godzilla X Kong, briefly explain the plot for those who don't know.
Godzilla and the mighty Kong fate a colossal threat hidden deep within the planet, challenging the very existence and the survival of the human race.
Nice.
Now, Tom, what was your favorite sequence in the film?
What was my favorite? Okay, so I've already talked about Kong using Mini Kong to hit. Yeah, I mean, that might have been the best moment. Like, I was
aside from that, we talked about that. Yeah.
Brilliant. I don't really know if I have a favorite sequence, but I do want to talk about Kong's journey in this film. Now, I say journey, he doesn't have a character arc, but I really enjoyed that his whole thing was, he's going along with Mini Kong and he's telling Mini Kong, like, take me to your leader. And Mini Kong is kind of double crossing him and keeps on, like, you know, setting traps and directing Kong into all of these different creatures. But every time Kong comes out on top, instead of getting angry at Mini Kong, he's like, nah, bro, chill. Have a piece of octopus. And they kind of become friends. Like, they bond and there are no words spoken. It's all visual. And we're talking about some pretty good CGI here as well. And I just thought it was really effective. Again, I felt this film was like a really cool Kong film. The Godzilla stuff was basically pointless. But when it was focusing on Kong, I was having a great time. I thought that was really, really well done.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Kong as this stoic figure going through Hollow Earth. I had vibes of Donkey Kong, you know, like with Diddy Kong and Donkey Kong, that type of vibe.
Yes! Oh my god, yeah.
Going through. I remember in the video game, I forgot which video game, but it was like a Donkey Kong video game.
Was it? Okay, wait. Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yes, that's it.
Yes! On the Wii? Oh my god, I love that one.
Hell yeah. I was like getting vibes. I was just like, this is like a type of road trip with them. It's like this bonding thing. I'm in for that. I really love Kong trying to be, again, he doesn't have a character arc, but he just felt like a proper character in this film. If you compare to the other characters of the film, like the human characters, they do nothing. They just do nothing at all. They're just like, oh my god, Kong, you look so sad. Kong, you look so hurt. Kong, arm, need an arm.
What are we going to do? Oh yeah, thank God that we have this arm, guys. We're so lucky. I really loved the human characters are just, you know, they're there for exposition. They're there for some very loose emotional moments. But I really, really enjoyed at the very least, they were quite funny. And I think Trapper is a good example of that. He's just having a great time as they're like going into the Hollow Earth. And there's that one guy who many people will know from Andor, who plays Sergeant Linus Mosk in Andor. In this film, he plays like this kind of like no-nonsense like soldier, and he's like, I'm in charge here, and then he just gets like swallowed up by this tree. And it's like, I don't think that anyone in this film is taking the human character seriously, and normally I'm really annoyed by that. And I still don't think it's great. I would prefer to have some really strong human characters, especially, again, let's compare this to Godzilla Minus One, where the human characters are so strong and really the core of the emotional film. But considering that Kong's story is so compelling and he kind of has his own little journey, I don't really mind that the human characters had nothing to do. They made Kong a character in the same way that Godzilla in something like Minus One is a manifestation of all these things, you know, it has something to say. Kong, he's more than just an adversary. He's more than just smashy monkey. There's something to him in this film that made me a little bit more lenient on the human characters, because they're only just there to tell us what's going on. And I don't really mind that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, again, I haven't seen a lot of the MonsterVerse films, and I don't know what they're like in terms of like where they are in the story. But yeah, the human characters, there was a few that I really liked. They had some charm, you know, like they weren't there just for exposition. I mean, I liked Trapper, you know, he had some charm to it, you know, to the film, you know, had something to say. And I thought he was pretty cool, to be honest. But overall, yeah, I say that with Kong, he feels like he is the main character of the story. I don't like when titles suggest that there's going to be two huge figures in the film. Like, you got Kong and Godzilla, right? And you put them together, and it's like, okay, that means they're going to help each other fighting out against this evil creature. I don't know, a monkey? Yeah, it's an evil monkey. And then you got this whole thing with Kong exploring Hollow Earth, and you haven't really got Godzilla just yet, but he's bringing Godzilla for the final act, which I thought, okay, we haven't got to the Empire, the new Empire. And it was a bit annoying because it was just building a lot of exposition, and I forgot why we're here in the first place, because there were so many storylines coming in together. Like, you got Godzilla, you got the humans who are concerned about Godzilla, and then you got the mother and daughter relationship that they're trying to bond together, but that isn't well developed. And then you've got Kong as a storyline trying to work together with Mini Kong, and it's like, oh my god, I just feel so overwhelmed. And I forgot that this is the villain of the story, this guy who's got another kaiju creature, and it's like, oh, okay, he has an ice creature then.
It's Frozen Empire. Connected to Ghostbusters.
No, I was walking out the cinema, I was like, that was not too bad. And then I was like thinking, I felt something in my body, I was like, oh, did I watch something really worse than that? And I was just trying to remember, it was Ghostbusters. I was like, oh, great, yeah.
Is there such a film that's worse than that you just remember, like, oh no.
I was devastated.
Yeah, the mother-daughter plotline, for instance, wafer thin. From the beginning, you know where it's going. It's like, oh, do you feel like you have a home with me? And then when she meets these other indigenous people in the hollow earth, it's like, oh no, my daughter is going to leave me. And then the daughter's like, no, mum, you are my home. And it's like, wow. Well done, everyone. Like, again, I'm not too fussed about it. I don't come to these films for the human characters. Like, you know, if we talk about what this film promised, like, as you say, in the title, I do think that it should have just been a Kong film. Like, Godzilla, you know, if you want to put Godzilla in there as a nice surprise for audiences, great. But he doesn't... I think the problem is that they already did Godzilla versus Kong. Like, the franchise has escalated to that point. So now you can't really go back on that. You can't really say, oh, yeah, we're going to just do a single Kong film. That's not as interesting anymore. I mean, maybe now that they've done Godzilla Minus One, even though it's not part of this universe, that makes it interesting. I'm not sure. But when you think about what the film kind of delivers, the action is a load of fun. Godzilla and Kong are a load of fun as well. The CGI is fantastic. But I must say, everything feels so weightless. I mean, you compare this to Skull Island or 2014 Godzilla, everything felt huge. Like, you know, there are numerous shots. Like, there's that iconic one.
Right. I was thinking about this too as well,
yeah. Yeah, Kong, like, against the sunset with all the helicopters in Skull Island. You feel like he is huge, and it adds to your feeling of terror towards them. I went to Madame Tussauds in London once, and they had a huge Kong head. It was animatronic, and I shat myself. Like, I knew it wasn't real, but it was huge, and it was just
terrifying.
Terrifying. Yeah, and it's like, you know, the scale of these things is why they feel so mighty. But here, they just didn't have that. They felt so weightless. There's a scene where they turn off the anti-gravity, because of course they turn off the anti-gravity. Kong, Godzilla, evil Kong, evil Godzilla, they all have a fight scene as they're floating around, and that fight scene, it's supposed to be all weightless and like, oh, there's no gravity, so it's really, but it's no less weightless than the rest of the film. I don't know if you remember, but when the trailer for this film came out, there's that shot of Godzilla and Kong running together, and everyone was clowning on it, saying this looks super weightless, it looks super tiny. It does. The whole film, you don't feel like they're huge creatures. You just feel like they're just a regular bloke. You know, yeah. Like Kong in this film is just a guy. Like,
yeah, he's just a guy.
There's nothing.
Yeah, the film really struggles with perspective about how big these creatures are. And that just really ruined about the past films that I watched. Like, you know, if you watched Godzilla Minus One or Kong Skull Island, those films make you feel small. That's the type of thing that I was really looking forward to do. Like, this type of thing, you know, these creatures.
You were like, I want to feel small. Make me feel like an underling.
I was like trying to say, no, I don't want to be the small allegations. No, the type of thing, you know, the movies make you feel it's threatening. You know, these creatures, they have so much presence in the film. You want to have that. But here, they're just fighting at normal speed. That is the problem with that film. You just feel like, okay, I guess they're fighting that fast then, and it just didn't have that weight. I mean, you can look at the fight in Rio, that whole thing, it's just so fast, and you know, there's so much going on, and it's like, they're throwing buildings now, they're just doing this, and it's just like, what? What was going on?
I have to admit, when you said the fight in Rio, I thought you meant the film Rio, about the birds. And I was like, where's he going?
Well, they're fighting against the bird, Tom. They're fighting against the two birds.
Let him cook. Yeah. Let him cook. And then it's like, let him cook.
Blue comes in. He's just like, hey, guys.
Blue, played by Jesse Eisenberg. Of course. Of course. Wait, it's been a couple of weeks. I think so. Is that right?
Oh.
I want to say it's Jesse Eisenberg. But yeah, like, it really does feel a bit strange. And, you know, Adam Wingard, who directed this film, I think he directed Godzilla vs. Kong as well. He knows how to make a fun film. All these films have been extremely fun. But he does have a problem with this weight thing. I remember when Godzilla vs. Kong was playing and I watched it. There's this moment in the first time they face off. They're kind of like on these battleships, like these huge kind of like helicarrier-esque things. And Godzilla first like emerges and Kong is there and they face off. And Kong, he just decks Godzilla. And I was like, yes, here we go. And it felt huge. You know, the battleships are tiny and they're so big. And then after that, the entire film felt so nothing, felt so weightless. And it just continues on to this one. And it's a real shame. I feel like, you know, they should add that element back in. You know, let's shoot things more from the ground. Let's give some perspectives that make them look huge. That's when these characters work the best. But nonetheless, I do think the action was fun enough. I mean, the film was really strangely paced. I don't know if you felt this, but it just went on forever. And then it ended like that. It just ended so abruptly. And I was like, are we not gonna like do like a final scene or something? But it just went like, that was it. It was done. It was like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think the pace was very long for some reason. I don't know. It just felt like I was trapped there. I was like, okay, I can watch the film and I can go. That's the type of thing I'm doing. Okay, I'm here. I'm going to talk about it and then I'm going to watch it. I was watching it with my dad and he was like, get me out, John. Get me out. I don't want to watch this film. He said afterwards, he was like, that's the type of film I walk out. I was like, yeah. Understandable. It was just so weird and I wasn't really engaged in the dialogue because the dialogue was so fast and I didn't understand what they were saying most of the time because they were like, oh my god, the anti-gravity, we must use the anti-gravity system where we must give Kong an arm and all that, and I was just like, whoa, steady on. There was a lot to go through.
The convenience of that arm, that's real guys, storytelling right guys. There with the exact thing that we need, this fist of a mech, which has all the right medicine that's going to fix Kong's arm. And it's like, we have it right here in the Hollow Earth. It's like, wow, that's writing.
The story is just like, hey, we got everything for Kong, like an arm. And then they gave him like a tooth.
Yes.
Like, dentistry thing. That happened in the film, by the way. They just pulled out like a bad tooth out of Kong, out of his mouth.
Sure.
And then Trapper is just being like the dentist. And there's a bunch of needle drops in the film as well. There's just playing songs from everywhere, and I was like, oh my god, this is Guardians of the Galaxy over again. I'm just like, I didn't know what to expect. I was just like, is it trying to be that this family-esque film, you know, with songs and needle drops, is just putting it in and there, and it's just trying to give charm to it? Like, that's the problem with movies nowadays, is that they're trying to replicate the mixtape feel to it.
Yeah.
And I think that they should move away from that, because it's like, you don't have to go down that path. Just create your own music, like something cool to it. Like, I mean, you got Junkie XL, and he has so many bangers in his discography, but then when you introduce music from the past, I think that just creates more of a commercial way of like getting to the audience to like, no, I know that song, I know we can vibe to this song, you know, like the type of thing. The reason why the Guardians mixtape works is just unknown, but here it just feels like, oh, okay, we just have these songs out of nowhere. That song when he did the dentist thing, he's like, I got you, I got you. And I was like,
it's funny.
Is this actually happening?
The music doesn't elicit any other emotions. I actually watched One Day on Netflix recently. I mean, it's it's not the kind of thing that I normally watch. I watched it with my housemates and I enjoyed it quite a lot. But what I really found is exactly what you're saying. It has a really great score, but the score isn't used nearly enough. And so often they decide to go with licensed music that barely has any significance to the characters. There's a moment where one character's like, this is a song in a mixtape you made me. And it's like, okay, I don't care. It's episode 10. This song doesn't hold any significance for me. But then when you got to the final episode, I was like, oh my, this really hits because they use the score. I think that it's the same thing with this, really. We do have an email, actually, this week from Samuel Masson, who says, hello there. So this film was just bonkers. And that's okay. Or is it? First things first, the return of Adam Wingard from Godzilla vs. Kong meant that this film was a decent follow film. The tone of the last film was very much present. All the other MonsterVerse films are helmed by different directors, and the approach to those films from one to the other can be a bit choppy. So the return to the director helps it flow better. The weirdness and exploration of the world from the previous films is very much here in this one. It's not a movie that takes itself too seriously. Godzilla 2014 was a very grounded movie and had a more serious tone to it. Here we have Kong with a robot arm. Why? Because we can, that's why. It's silly and out there and makes for a good piece of entertainment if you want to lose yourself for a bit. And it's always fun to see monster teeth getting punched out. However, your view of this film will be affected by what you expect of it. As already said, this is not a serious film, and it sometimes does lack a little bit of that serious moment. There was a point at the start of the film where people say, ah, it's all great because Godzilla comes and deals with the bad guys. But by the end of the film, there's so much damage to the world and its cities, not to mention the death toll being so high. But there's no acknowledging that. Nobody bats so much as an eye at the carnage, so it lacks those serious moments. I'm not saying it had to be completely serious. Look at Godzilla Minus One. That was a very serious film, made Godzilla seem scary. But that's a different approach, and I think that Godzilla X Kong could have done with just a couple of serious moments. Godzilla also did almost nothing in this film. He's just out doing side quests until the last battle of the movie. He definitely should have been involved in the plot more. To wrap this up, if you're looking for a serious kaiju film, this one isn't for you. But if you're looking to lose yourself in some fun entertainment for a while, this will work for you. I'd give it a 6 out of 10. I love the craziness of this film and the monster slugging it out, but it was just left desiring those serious moments to balance it all out. Thanks for the hard work and content, gents, especially the Twitter/X post recently. Take care, Sam. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
John, you just made a Twitter account. So, you know, we're both now on Twitter.
Yeah.
Bada bing, link in the description below.
Yeah, I'm really happy making sure that you guys can see the shorts as well. You know, you might not be available on X Twitter. I don't know why it's called X. Nobody knows why it's just called X. Yeah, I'm there. I could be dropping some bangers about anything really. Anyway, yes. Thank you, Sam.
Yes, I think that Sam's email really gets to the point of a lot of what this is about. There's such a different tone. It's such a different vibe. It's not really taking itself seriously, and it allows it to stand on its own. You know, a lot of people talk about the fact that in the DCU, we're going to get a new Batman. It's going to be a different Batman to the Batman. And so they have the opportunity to do something completely different. They can go mystical. They can go fantastical. They can go a bit more goofy with their Batman approach than what Matt Reeves is doing. And I think that's kind of like what we're getting here with Godzilla Kong. You know, Godzilla Minus One is the serious version. It's the version that has a lot to say. Godzilla X Kong, it's its own thing. But even so, I do agree with Sam that let's give a bit more emotion in there. Let's give a bit more of that world building that makes this feel less like a bunch of NPCs who speak about, you know, exposition, and make it more like real people living real lives that are affected by these monsters, these kaijus. Like, you know, let's really like get into that. And I feel like wherever we go next, that I feel should be at the forefront.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just lacking direction. It just feels like, okay, we'll just go with this and just figure out what we need to do with Kong, and then just forgot about everybody, really, because the main spectacle of this, it was just the arm, and then Godzilla just turns pink, and it just feels like, yeah, we're just going to put that in. I wish there was something to really connect the audience with. I mean, you can't connect with a monkey and a lizard fighting each other, but what we're dealing with the human characters. I thought it was a bit of fun. It's just not to be taken seriously. I agree with Sam. If you want to see a serious film, Godzilla Minus One.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%. And I don't really know where we're going to go in this franchise. Maybe they'll go to space or something. Maybe they'll do a crossover with someone else. I mean, hey, we recently had the announcement that the Transformers G.I. Joe film, the crossover that we all wanted, is finally happening. Oh my god, if you guys could see John's face, you could see that that's a broken man right there.
I just remembered that now. They're gonna have Snake Eyes in this story, I guess.
Who knows?
And then, Snake Eyes is trying to communicate to Bumblebee, but Bumblebee has like so many different voices.
Hold up, is this gonna be cinema? Have we just discovered this film is gonna be cinema? Oh my god, what?
Yeah, let's go for that.
But anyway, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, what are you gonna give this movie out of 10?
I'm gonna give this a 5.
You know what? Me too. 5 out of 10. Thank you everybody for listening. If you're listening on YouTube and you enjoyed it, you can like and subscribe if you want to see more. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, you can follow and give us a 5-star review. If you think we're worthy, next week we're going to be doing the Fallout series, which is going to be really interesting. I started watching it recently. I think it's a really promising start. We're both huge fans of the game, especially Fallout 4. And so yeah, like I'm really hoping that this show is going to be a really great adaptation of that. And you can send us an email at ourtimefilmpod@gmail.com. We'll be recording next Saturday, so let us know your thoughts on Fallout by then, and we will answer it right here on the podcast next week.
No, where's my notes?
Oh no!
I lost it! I lost it! No. Well, thank you. You can follow us on Instagram at Out of Time Film Pod to see our incredible thumbnails from Zane Asbel, and then Twitter for more thoughts from us. You know, we're here now. We're here.
Yeah.
If you can't see us, we're just doing like happy dances, you know, like, you know, we're celebrating our Mario Kart. Yippee! And thank you for Ronan Phillips for vocals as always. And thanks to L. James Mayer for the excellent theme. So yeah, I got this at the top of my head now. So I'm just like, yes!
And
am I missing something?
TikTok.
Oh, TikTok to see shorts and episodes. And I forgot, man. I forgot what was the last bit. And I remember
TikTok to see edited clips, which are also on Instagram Reels and YouTube Shorts.
I nearly had it there. I nearly had it
there. You nearly had it.
Take what you're given.
Give nothing back.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.